Eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this water to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they do always remember him, that they may have his Spirit to be with them. Amen.
thank these good brethren who hold the priesthood for their reverent administration of the sacrament, all 56 of them who participated. Thank you. We are grateful to Elder M. Russell Ballard for his willingness to be with us on this special Christmas day. As you know, he has blessed the lives of many members of our ward, our stake, our neighborhood, and even the worldwide church. Elder Ballard will direct the remainder of the program. At the conclusion of the program, the choir will sing O Holy Night, after which Sister Janice White of the St. Mary's Ward will offer the benediction. Elder Ballard.
Brothers and sisters, I commend you for having courage to come out on such a snowy morning, but I know you love the Lord and you certainly would want to partake of the sacrament this very precious day, Christmas Day. I'm so grateful that Barbara and I have been invited once again. We're grateful we're still here to be invited. And I think it's over 30 years that we've had the privilege of joining in the Christmas sacrament meeting in the Monument Park area. Naturally, I'm very humbled for this wonderful privilege. We're especially blessed today to have two wonderful Latter-day Saints that love the Lord and just are willing to do whatever one of the 12 asks them to do. And I want both David Archuleta and Savannah Stevenson to know how much I love and appreciate them and the sacrifice they have made to be here with you today. Part of our Christmas theme today in the church, we've got the we've got the light of the world, and there's those little clips that have been coming up on your cell phones and your iPads with the story of, or a suggestion of the attributes of Christ that we might all try to practice for that day. Because David was with us last year and sang only twice, I've had many of you not complain, but suggest that we have him with us again where he could sing at least three times and maybe four. We have not rehearsed. We don't have time to rehearse any of this. They're going their direction. I think David just got in last night from his performances, and Savannah has come all the way from England. She was here for other matters, but I kind of think she came all the way from England to be with you today. David wrote a beautiful song entitled My Little Prayer. The words are his, the music is his. And I felt this morning, David, if we could start with you singing that for us, because I think all of us have a little prayer in our heart and in our families on this beautiful Christmas day. So if you wouldn't mind, not knowing how quick I was going to call on you, are you ready? Can you do that for us?
I am Sometimes I am afraid, and I know that's lacking faith, but I'm beginning to understand that for me you have a plan. Heavenly Father, I am grateful for you sending your Son to die so that I'd live, and for never giving up. I'm learning every day that I won't always have my way, but I'm beginning to understand that for me you have a plan. Heavenly Father, I am grateful for you hearing my prayer. I am learning to be patient, and that you are really there. There are answers I'm receiving. No, they're not always immediate. Sometimes I have felt defeated. That's when I kneel down in prayer. You show me you hear my prayer. I'm amazed by how you care, 'cause you hear my little prayer.
A wonderful way to start this Christmas program. Savannah is here. She's from England, as I mentioned, and we had the privilege of the Quorum of the Twelve, many of the general authorities and the auxiliary leaders of the church, of hearing a Christmas presentation, part of which Savannah made a wonderful part of that presentation by telling a story. And I'm not bashful, so I called to see if she would come and tell the story to you. She has played in England, in London. She's based in London. And she has been married. She was Mary in the Bible videos. So every time you see a Bible video and Mary is in it, the mother of Jesus, you will see Savannah. She's also played in Mary Poppins and Gone with the Wind. She's appearing right now, well, not right now, but when she gets back to London, as Glinda in Wicked at the Apollo Victoria Theatre in London. Savannah, we really are so grateful that you make the effort to come and be with us and share the little story that you told all of us, what was it, about 10 days ago. So would you come and tell us the story about the molasses than Christmas.
As told in Our Pioneer Heritage 1971, Audeville. One December evening, some of the sisters of Audeville met to plan a Christmas treat for the children. The order had no luxuries, and the necessities were strictly rationed. About the only sweets the people had was molasses. So the sisters decided to make molasses candy and cookies for the youngsters. But on Christmas Eve, they came to Grandmother Spencer, wife of Howard Orson Spencer, bishop and leader in Audeville, with the news that the brother in charge of the molasses won't let us have any. He says our allowance for the month is already used. Grandmother's lips tightened. The children are going to have something for Christmas. I'll speak to my husband after dinner. He'll give us permission. When her husband came in tired and hungry, Sister Spencer hovered over her husband and, after dinner, urged him to rest by the fire. As he sat looking drowsily into the flames, she said in a low voice, "You do think the children should have some candy and cookies for Christmas, don't you, Harold?" "Mm-hmm," was the sleepy response. And Grandmother went away smiling. She reported to the ladies that everything was all right. "My husband has given us permission." "Did he say we could have the molasses?" asked one of the doubting Thomases. "He didn't say no," replied Sister Spencer truthfully. "Now, we won't wake up the brother in charge of the molasses. We'll just slip out and take what we need." The man in charge of the molasses barrel was very conscious of his responsibility. On the lid of the barrel, he had placed a section of heavy logging chain and a large boulder. Only a thin wooden partition at the head of the bed separated him from the barrel outside, and he was a light sleeper. Shivering from the cold, the women crunched through the snow again, and the night was very dark. With infinite caution, they removed the heavy chain without so much as one betraying clank. It took the combined efforts of all the women to lower the boulder noiselessly to the ground. There was a breathless pause as Sister Spencer raised the lid and dipped into the barrel with a saucepan. She emptied its contents into a bucket and dipped again and again. "We have enough now," whispered one of the women. "Let's go back." With the same caution, the chain and boulder were replaced, and the women filed back to the warm kitchen to make the Christmas goodies. But there was a dismayed gasp when they looked into the pail. "Oh dear, we haven't enough molasses. We'll have to get some more." "Oh no, Sister Spencer, it's cold and dark. It's too risky." "Well, just the same, we must, unless we want the children to be disappointed." There could only be one answer to such a statement, and the little band of mothers went again to the molasses barrel. They returned safely and set to work. When morning came, every child in Audeville had two molasses cookies and one big, slightly sticky lump of candy in his stocking. Santa Claus had not forgotten them. Grandfather insisted all his life that he could not remember ever having given the women permission to get the molasses.
I'm a great fan of the women in the church, as you all know. I think the women in the church are the power behind most of the things we get done. That story just touches my heart, and good for Sister Spencer. Now, the story of the Christ child we reflect on Christmas actually happened, brothers and sisters, over days, weeks, months, and maybe as long as 2 years, the visit of the wise men. We know that Christmas story actually began much earlier of the night the angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds in the field. Because of the restoration and the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ through the prophet Joseph Smith, we know much more about the coming of the Savior to the world than those who only have access to the Bible. We know Jesus was chosen to be Savior and Redeemer of the world in the premortal councils in heaven when he stepped forward and said, "Here am I, send me." We know the Savior revealed himself to Adam and Eve, who then taught their posterity about the coming of the Son of God. In fact, we know that all the prophets, including the Old Testament and Book of Mormon prophets, talked about Christ's coming. The Book of Mormon prophecies about the Savior's birth are clearer than other prophecies about his birth. For example, Isaiah said that the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. However, King Benjamin said, "The virgin, the son of the virgin's name shall, the virgin's name shall be Mary." King Benjamin defining the very name of the mother of Christ. Eventually the time came when the Savior would come into the world. The Lord prepared the people for his coming when he sent an angel to the righteous priest Zacharias while he served in the temple. Gabriel, the angel, sent from the presence of God, promised Zacharias that his wife Elizabeth would bear a son, and that he would go before the Savior and prepare the people. 6 months later, that same angel visited Mary in the tiny village of Galilee named Nazareth. Angel Gabriel announced that the young virgin Mary, that she would be chosen mother of the Messiah, the Savior and the Redeemer of the world. Mary also learned that her cousin Elizabeth was carrying a child, so she traveled to see her cousin Elizabeth in the small village in Judea near Jerusalem. When Mary entered the room, the home of Zacharias, Elizabeth, therein being carried, John the Baptist, John leaped in her womb, and immediately Elizabeth knew by the Holy Ghost that Mary was the mother of the Savior. Let us return to the night the shepherds found the babe lying in the manger in Bethlehem. After the shepherds left, Joseph, Mary, and the babe, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. David, would you sing for us?
Thank you.
baby boy will one day walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? As you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Oh, Mary. Oh, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again.
Judas,
the brother James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there with her brother. Mary stands as an important witness, a witness of the birth, a witness of the first miracle at Canaan, a witness of his death, and a witness in the beginning of the book of Acts with the apostles when they came forward to lead the Savior's church. In addition to the special role she played as an important witness, Mary was also a thoughtful and a caring mother. Nothing can compare with a mother's love for her children. In fact, a mother's love for children is as dear as the dear sisters in Oroville with their molasses candy at Christmas time, as many of you dear mothers and dear sisters are to your families today. As mothers and children celebrate this special day, the day of the mortal birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you are married, single, young, old, we all praise God for that holy night when Christ was born. I felt it as a matter we ought to have in the back of our minds at this Christmas time, something that came into my hands recently. We just celebrated, I don't know that we'd celebrate it, we just acknowledge the 75th year of the bombing of Pearl Harbor. On December 22nd, Winston Churchill secretly boarded the British steamer and made his way through the Nazi submarine-infested Atlantic for America. He had come to consult with U.S. President Franklin D. Roosevelt. 2 days later, on Christmas Eve, the two leaders stood on the balcony of the White House and issued their responses to the evil. Well, celebrate Christmas was their message. Churchill told America that each home should turn on their Christmas lights and be brightly lighted island of happiness and peace. Well, we have tonight, he continued, the peace of the Spirit in each cottage home and every generous heart. President Roosevelt then called for a national day of fasting and prayer. He declared that the nation needed God's guidance, that this people may be humble in spirit but strong in the conviction of the right. The President concluded, quote, therefore, I do hereby appoint the first day of the year, 1942, as a day of prayer, of asking forgiveness for our shortcomings of the past, of consecration to the tasks of the present, of asking God's help in days to come. Our strongest weapon in this war is that conviction of dignity and brotherhood of man which Christmas Day signifies more than any other day or any other symbol against enemies who preach the principles of hate and practice them. We set our faith in human love and in God's care for us and all men everywhere, close quote. Later, President Roosevelt and Churchill worshiped at Christ Church in Alexandria, Virginia, George Washington's church. Even he who proclaimed that the smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained. The words of George Washington. During the service, the congregation sang the Battle Hymn of the Republic, a faithful hymn about God's hand in war and his unwavering fight to destroy evil, that liberty and Christ's gospel may be preserved. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Churchill was so moved by the hymn, which was also one of Abraham Lincoln's most favorite hymns, that he instructed in his will that song be included at his funeral, and it was. My beloved brothers and sisters, we pray and must pray mightily as a people and all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, all who have standards and principles that we seek and know of our importance for guidance and peace and safety in the world today. We must pray mightily that our Father in heaven and the Lord Jesus Christ will look down upon us and save us from the lack of spiritual insight and spiritual leadership that we've experienced over the last many years in this great country. I bear you my testimony and I witness to you that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Son of the living God. He's the resurrected Redeemer and Savior, and all that we think about and all we sing about and all that we can hope about in our hearts is true when it comes to the life and ministry of the Savior of the world. May God's peace be with you. May you have the peace of the Lord in your hearts individually and within your families. May you love and adore the Savior of the world on this Christmas day, the day we celebrate his sacred and holy birth, is my humble prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.